welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've decided to join us. It's a ritual that any of us who have children observe and follow most school days. You send your children off to school, and you pack what they need in their backpacks. Books, notebooks, lunches. It's pretty routine stuff. But for two school districts in Detroit recently, the idea of welcoming children into the building every day with backpacks has become too much. Due to fears of gun violence, Flint Community School banned backpacks on May 1st of this year. And Grand Rapids Public Schools did the same thing on May 10th. Now, school officials acknowledge that these decisions are probably temporary, that they are simply an attempt to stop kids from bringing guns to schools right now as we are experiencing a really dramatic rise in gun violence all across the country. And we should talk about how much that rise in gun violence is affecting all of us. A new report from the Center for American Progress noted that about 40% of Michigan households have firearms in them. And those numbers lead to deadly outcomes. More than 9 Michiganders are injured, and another 4 are killed by guns every day. Gun deaths reached a record high of 1,544 in 2021. That was a 25% increase from just 5 years before, 2016. A University of Michigan researcher recently found that about 6% of Michigan kids report carrying weapons into school. There are a number of actions that Michigan lawmakers took this year to try to stop gun violence. They enacted safe storage laws, universal background checks, and red flag laws. It's possible that the results of these efforts simply haven't left their mark yet, or maybe it's that these laws are not all that effective at keeping guns out of students' hands. A little later in the hour, we're going to talk specifically about gun violence in Detroit and the rise that we're seeing here and how people are responding to that, especially community leaders and community activists. But before we get there, we want to talk about these new backpack bans. Why are they happening now? How effective might they be? And how crazy is it, really, that this is where we are? We're telling children that they can't bring to school with them something that children for generations have toted into school buildings. We're banning backpacks. That's where the conversation begins today on Detroit Today. And to talk about this, we have Pamela Pugh with us. She is the president of the Michigan State Board of Education. Pamela, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start here. Why do you think this backpack ban is happening now? Is this a last-ditch effort by school administrators to contain and prevent gun violence? You have two districts now that have said, leave your backpacks at home. I find that extraordinary.
It is extraordinary, and it really just tells of the times that we're in and the need and the desperation of school districts to protect the children and making sure that parents grappling with how do we make sure that parents know when they send their children to school, they're supportive environments, they are safe environments where children go to learn. So we know that parents are beyond fearful. I mean, that is an understatement. We know that school districts are really trying and stretching hard to make sure that they are doing just that. As you mentioned, April 13th, the governor signed a package of bills, and there's one more that's on the way to be signed. But one of those bills was Senate Bill 79. And that was to make sure that firearms in the home were kept safe, in particular for children under the age of 18. What we know is that we have a Republican legislature that did not support that bill, and therefore that bill has not gone into effect. And those are the safety measures that we need for our children as our school districts, as school boards and administrations and community and family and children, students work together to determine other ways to be more preventative. So, you know, we can talk about some of those preventative measures mm-hmm. that we know we need to be thinking about as we are dealing with this urgency right here, right now. Because as you've read off some startling statistics, that we should never grow normalized or see as the norm. Those statistics should startle us every time we hear them. So as we look to address those urgent statistics that continue to show to be true on a daily basis as we turn on the news and look across the country, mm-hmm. We know that schools will be grappling for, you know, what can we do in this moment?
So I do want to have you talk about some of these preventative measures that you think would help, and I want to have you talk specifically about why they would help, because this is one of the things that gets us hung up when we talk about either legislation or other kinds of regulation for gun safety or to prevent gun violence. Lots of people say it's not going to matter, that if you pass these laws or regulations, that the people who want to break the law aren't going to follow them anyway. So I want to have you talk about what you think are reasonable preventative measures that we could take and why you think they might be effective.
So first of all, let's just start with the safe storage law. I mean, that's just right in front of us. It's not too distal, and it's something that we know would penalize those who own those guns in the home if they're not stored, meaning that it could lead to jail time, it could lead to fines. And so the thought there is that parents, guardians, those owners of guns would be thinking about how do we make sure that we best store these guns. So that's one. But let's go a little bit more upstream, because I'm a public health person. And so we know, as we invest in mental health, as we invest in social support, let's just talk about making sure that we have social workers in schools. How about we have a budget, an equitable funding budget that's not at the bottom of the 50 states? Hmm. And we're digging our way out of that. So for decades, we've seen Michigan be at the bottom when it looks at equitable funding. So communities where we know there is most need, where there are high rates of low-income persons, where there's high rates of English language learners, where there's high rates of special needs children, where we know we need a good educators in front of students, where we're up north in the up north areas, northern areas, where transportation is an issue. We've seen where funding is not equitable. And that's not to say, what that shows is that we are not investing mm-hmm. In our children. And that's basically what that shows. You know, people talk about when I was a child, and I can talk about that. You probably could talk about that. But let's just think about the enrichment activities mm-hmm. and the activities mm-hmm. that children had access to, summer jobs, going to the community center that was on the corner, yeah. having a school that's in the center of community, that anchored community. So let's, first of all, you know, talk about how we've divested in our communities as a whole, that we've divested in our education system, as well as those enrichment programs that keep our children occupied, thinking about future around other children who can help to cultivate a culture, you know, of love, working, you know, having relationship with children who live outside of your area as well. So really making sure that we're investing in our children, investing in those neighborhoods that our children live in. But, you know, just being able to enact laws that we know would also help to prevent firearms showing up in schools, that would help to prevent the school violence that we're seeing, as well as the community violence that we're seeing.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Pamela Pugh. She is the president of the Michigan State Board of Education. What we're talking about is gun violence in schools and the concerns about gun violence in schools. Rising gun violence all over the country is, of course, affecting our schools, and that's true here in Michigan as well. Two school districts in the state recently decided that in order to help kids keep kids safe, they needed to ban backpacks. Kids can no longer bring backpacks with them to schools in the Flint Community School District, as well as in Grand Rapids Public Schools. It's a pretty extraordinary measure. Is it the kind of thing, though, that is necessary right now? Is it the kind of thing that will maybe keep kids safer than they have been, given the rising gun violence all over the country? We want to hear from you, our listeners, as well during the conversation. Call us and tell us if you're a parent or a student and what you make of these backpack bans. If you are in favor of them, tell us why you think this will help keep children safer. If you're against, tell us what else you think maybe could be done to keep students safe from gun violence. Do you think the state legislature needs to do more to keep students safe? They have been really leaning into the idea of further gun legislation here in Michigan in a way that they haven't in many, 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 many years. What else would you put on their plates? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. Before we get to listeners, Pamela, I want to ask you about the response you've heard from parents and students to what's happening in Flint and Grand Rapids. Is there blowback that you're hearing about this, or are you hearing that people feel like, look, this is necessary, even if it's undesirable? And talk about the relationship, I guess, between the state board, which you lead, and, you know, parents in local communities and the districts that serve their students.
Again, we hear mixed responses, but what we do know is that we don't want to turn our schools into militarized zones. And we definitely hear that from community. We want children to be able to go to school and to be able to learn in environments where they don't feel like they're in a battlefield. So we definitely hear that. We also know, again, I will say that on repeat, that educators and school district administrators, local school boards, are really perplexed, to say the least. They do not want to be that next place where school violence takes place due to gun violence. We really encourage local districts at these very heated times and parents and community to come together and really try to talk out and talk through these complex issues. Again, you know, if we had a legislature, Republicans on the legislature that these gun laws could go into effect, I don't think a lot of people realize that some of these laws that we know would be helpful for a helpful tool for these districts. they're not in effect. As far as the State Board of Education, we write guidance. Recently, we wrote a resolution that spoke to just a holistic approach. That some of the things that I laid out were, you know, we want to make sure that school districts are adequately funded to have social workers, the right ratio of nurses, school nurses to students, because those are all of those pieces, social workers, counselors, school nurses, they help to make sure that children are balanced. They can check in to see if they're noticing anything, because we have to ask the question also, why is it that that statistic that you read off is true about children needing to take backpacks with a gun in it into the classroom or into that school building? What is going on? You know, are we seeing bullying? There are a whole lot of factors that feed into that as well. And we're constantly trying to put out training and making sure we have supports for educators so that they can also make sure that they're providing a climate and a culture and a school setting that's welcoming to all children, because we know that some children will be bullied more than other children. And so we have to make sure that we look at this from a holistic perspective, and that is the language that we're constantly talking into school districts, providing them with guidance, providing them with the support, then talking to the legislature and making sure, as well as the governor's office, making sure that they know where priority needs to be placed from a budgetary standpoint, as well as from a policy standpoint. And so we are here to support those districts, because anyone serving at the local level right now, it is just in a school district, whether it's direct, you know, help when we're talking about COVID, or whether it's social and emotional well-being of children, whether it's making sure that you can provide supportive classrooms and supportive environments for LGBTQ plus children, or children, you know, BIPOC children. They are catching it from all ends, and we have to make sure that those environments are as safe as possible. And so as a community, we have to make sure that when we're having these conversations, we're listening to both sides. Again, supporting children to be able to be in classrooms and school buildings where they don't feel like they're in these militarized zones, but at the same time, making sure that they are safe. And we also need to make sure that they can carry books in a backpack. Imagine a world without backpacks these days. So we're, you know, hoping that we can get through this and give parents and educators, school districts, the supports they need, i.e. Passing, allowing a Senate bill that would help some of these factors that begin at home to be addressed at home. Yeah. And that storage law would be helpful, but also, as we said, giving the supports that are needed inside of that school building.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. When we come back, we are going to continue this conversation about guns and schools statewide here in Michigan with Pamela Pugh, who is president of the Michigan State Board of Education. We'll also get going with you, the listeners, on the phones and on social. We're going to start with Bill Boyer, who is the president of the Oak Park Education Association, someone who joins us from time to time to talk about what's going on in that district and here in Southeast Michigan. We'll also hear from Joan in Southfield and Steve in Windsor. If you want to join them, 313-577-1019 is the number. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
WDET is your place for open dialogue.
The music you love.
Real news and in-depth analysis.
And cultural experiences.
The sound of Detroit.
101.9 WDET is your public radio station.
Two school districts in Michigan have decided that to deal with the rise in gun violence that we're seeing, they need to ban backpacks. Children cannot bring their books or their lunches in the backpacks that all of us really remember toting to school every day. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, your host, and I'm really glad you've joined us. We're talking today about gun violence in general, but also specifically in schools. How do we deal with the rise in gun violence in schools? Even here in the state of Michigan, what should we be doing that we're not doing? What are things that the state legislature should be considering or acting more quickly to get into place in order to make sure that kids are safe when they are in school? We want to hear from you during the conversation. 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. Call and tell us about your experiences sending your children to school or going to school if you are a student. How safe do you feel? Do you think bans on backpacks are some of the steps that need to be taken to make sure that schools are safe? You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today. We've got Pamela Pugh with us. She is the president of the Michigan State Board of Education. I also want to welcome another voice to the conversation right now. Bill Boyer is the president of the Oak Park Education Association. And recently, we hosted a show here on Detroit Today about violence in schools here in Southeast Michigan. Had Bill and a number of students with him talking about how they handle the violence that's in schools. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, bans on backpacks in schools. I gotta say, I'm not sure I ever thought that would be the case. I've heard of schools requiring children to have clear backpacks, transparent ones, so that they could see what was in them. But give us a sense of what this looks like from your seat there in Oak Park, and as a leader of a teachers' union, what kind of reaction do you have to this kind of step for safety?
Yeah, you know, it wouldn't work in our district. Besides, the clear backpacks aren't even cool. But,
but seriously, my backpack is black.
I appreciate the focus on security measures, but it's really a pyramid, a triangle that overlaps with mental health and community building. But if you're just focusing on security measures, It wasn't going to work for our school. We also have an issue with our lockers are way too small. They're 50 years old. And back when I went to school, maybe I had a binder and that was it. But now you got kids with laptops and several books. And that was part of the evolution of the book bag. And we tried keeping them out in the halls. And that was hard to enforce. So we went the route of what a lot of our urban districts are doing, in particular with metal detectors on the entrance, which includes my son's school down in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no accident in the spring that our incidents of school violence fights goes way down. And I think a major reason is because we've developed relationships with our students, and that the community building really needs to focus on retaining highly qualified teachers.
So, Bill, I want you to drill down on that a little more. I know I'm not sure that's something that everybody understands, that you feel like deeper into the school year, violence goes down. Talk more about how that looks and why you think that's true.
Well, we do a lot of social emotional learning, which is building on trust between the staff and the students. And you can't just parachute in overnight and have a workshop or two and a restorative circle and say we're done. It's a process that happens throughout the school year. And you don't know what crises are going to come up, and you'll have to respond to it. So we're emphasizing teaching the student, not just the subject. The problem is if you lose a lot of teachers, like we did with the previous administration, where we lost about 25% of our staff, then you can't have those relationships with long-term subs. And that has been a real problem the last couple of years, and we're finally turning the corner on it, and we're seeing that in reduced violence. Hmm. But those relationships are just as important as any metal detector system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. We've got a couple of social media comments. Michelle on Twitter says, this puts responsibility on kids. It's adults who should be making our communities safer. Safe storage is a start. Also on Twitter, Sam says they will ban everything but the actual weapons. Commentary on the difficulty getting gun legislation through both the state legislature and, of course, at the federal level as well. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Bill Boyer, I really want to thank you for calling in. It's always great to hear what is happening in Oak Park when we talk about these subjects. Thanks for calling us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go next to Joan in Southfield. Joan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having my call.
Hi.
I would just like to make an observation here regarding the backpacks and the health concerns. We are speaking of children who are using these backpacks that are placed on their backs that does raise issues regarding their spinal concerns.
Mm.
We're talking about a person who is in the process of growth.
Yeah, developmental stages.
Absolutely.
Right? Sure.
And this has not been addressed, and it's a serious concern regarding this spinal issue. We're speaking of children who are growing up wearing these backpacks, forget about what's in them.
Yeah. Joan, that's a very interesting point. I can remember really well. I went to a rigorous school from 7th to 12th grade, had all these books, and had to lug them around all the time. And you're right, it's too heavy. And it does affect your posture and all those other things. I do appreciate the call and the reference there, Joan. Let's go next to Steve in Windsor. Steve, what's on your mind?
Hi. I was going to Michigan public schools in the 50s and 60s, and mm-hmm. people were polite with each other. One of the things, and I'm not saying I'm right, but one of the things that I think is that as you look at what children have been programmed to in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond, their video games are prized violence. Mm-hmm. It's like kids are being programmed. And also what you see on television, there's no respect. So many of the games involve killing. What I suggest is a long-term solution that we need to really look and see if there's a way to control the messages that our children are being exposed to from the very youngest age. I look at my grandchildren, and what's offered is frightening. Hmm. Now, again, I'm certainly not an expert, but I grew up in a time when children had good manners, when adults had good manners, and when everybody was safe just walking around. Mm-hmm. And what I think I've seen is just the whole society has been programmed in a very bad way.
So, Steve, I really appreciate that perspective. I'm always really careful about that kind of nostalgia, because I think in some ways we tend to forget some of the other things that were going on in the 1950s and 60s and before that were quite violent. And you know, this has been a violent society for, you know, the entire time we've existed as Americans. At the same time, you're not wrong that the messages that children get today are much more violent, and they're exposed to it in different ways than they were before. Pamela Pugh, this is some of what you're trying to focus on, which is allowing families and allowing schools to deal with the greater context here, right? The social context, not
Absolutely.
Just the guns. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely, and making sure that we invest in that, you know, and I believe that what has also happened over some period of time is that we've seen that we're not investing in our communities, we're not investing in our school systems in the way that we should be, which, we started this conversation out with. There were other activities that many of us had at our disposal that our children do not. So we can expect them to find other things to do, such as playing video games and other more mischievous activities. So we have to invest in our communities. We have to invest in our schools. And to Mr. Boyer's point, we have to make sure that our education system, our educators, those people who are coming in contact with our children, that we're investing there as well. And so we have not done that. As a matter of fact, we have gone backwards, even though we see the destruction that causes. I'll say one other piece, too, because this light bulb has gone off, and we're talking about how gun violence is the number one killer of our children. In many of our communities, that has long been the case. We cannot wait for this devastation to hit us. It has to be when we see it going on in Detroit, Flint, Saginaw, mm-hmm. We have to care about that in Oxford and Traverse City, because once it begins, it usually comes your way. And so we have to start thinking about the communities who have long been facing these statistics and making sure that we nip these types of things in the bud before it shows up at our doorstep. Yeah. If there's this type of crisis that's going on for any child, we have to be concerned about it anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. Pamela Pugh, president of the Michigan State Board of Education, was really great to have you and your perspective here for this conversation on Detroit Absolutely. Today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about gun violence, but we're going to pivot specifically to the city of Detroit. We are experiencing our own rise in gun violence. What is the community reaction to it? What is the government reaction to it? What are the things that we need to have on the table as options to make things safer? Also want to continue to hear from you on the phones and on social. 313-577-1019 is the number here. And you can go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we could make you part of the program that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.